when I first started using the paid ads, I was one of the first people to actually use it, especially for my keywords. And so I was paying like under $1 per click for some really good keywords. Now it's like $7-$8 per click.
I feel like this has happened with like Amazon ads, Facebook ads, Google ads back in the day. You get all these gurus being like, oh, here's how to make a fortune. And then the secret is buy cheap ads while they're still cheap. All right. Welcome back to Indie Worldwide. I'm your host, Anthony Castrio. We have with us today, Jamie Tan. How's it going, Jamie?
Everything's good. How are you, Anthony?
Good. So, Jamie, you're the founder of Profit Calc, Shopify app store app. Looks like it's doing pretty good. I think you told me 10,000 MRR. That's rock solid. Maybe start by telling us what is Profit Calc and how have you gotten to where you're at so far?
Sure. So in summary, Profit Calc's a Shopify app that helps Shopify merchants understand their profit, essentially displaying all their financial metrics in a nice dashboard. And so this is really an upgrade from using spreadsheets so they can get their profit calculations in real time and have all their cost of goods sold, ad transactions, transaction fees, and everything just aggregated together with some nice graphs and visualizations, just so they can make better decisions with their Shopify stores.
And how many customers do you have right now? More or less?
Just around 700 customers.
Where are these? How are they finding out about you?
Mainly through the Shopify App Store. That's a lot where my distribution comes from, through organic search, and then also paid ads to the App Store as well.
Have you done anything to optimize that?
Optimizing my listings, running with SEO, trying to optimize for keywords and stuff. But I would say it has gotten more competitive in the last year and a half or so since they started the paid ads.
Yeah, it seems like a great game to play if you can win it. But like most platforms, as it gets more saturated, it gets harder to compete.
I agree. Yeah, when I first started using the paid ads, I was one of the first people to actually use it, especially for my keywords. And so I was paying like under $1 per click for some really good keywords. Now it's like $7-$8 per click in just a year or so. It does get more competitive.
Yeah. I feel like this has happened with like Amazon ads, Facebook ads, Google ads back in the day. You get all these gurus being like, oh, here's how to make a fortune. And then the secret is buy cheap ads while they're still cheap.
Yeah, be early. Something hard to replicate. So,
yeah. Are those ads still profitable for you now at like $7 or $8?
It depends on the keyword. Some are. There's a few that aren't anymore, but overall, it's still okay from there. So it's still a good channel. But yeah, definitely, as I said before, it has gotten more expensive.
And how much like maintenance or like day to day do you have to do to keep this thing running versus how automated is it?
In terms of just purely keeping it running, I can do that in a few hours a day. It's mainly just answering customer service, maybe doing some maintenance on my app. It can change if I'm trying to build a new feature out because it is just me, so I end up doing the development, the customer service, all of that. So that can change. And also, I'm trying to do more organic content at this point. Like, I have a YouTube channel, and I'm trying to set up a blog as well to generate traffic to my app listing.
I found e-commerce educated. Is that the right blog?
Correct. Yeah, I just started that a few weeks ago. So
it looks professional. Yeah, I was going to ask if it's driving much traffic, but if you just launched, I'm guessing probably not quite yet.
No, only a handful of clicks at this point. So
yeah, that's not bad, though.
Yeah, I'm just trying to generate like a bunch of like best of app listings just to get some easy SEO posts there.
Yeah, like best of in a category.
Trying to go for the tail end keywords.
Yeah. Are you reaching out to the founders of the apps that you list? It seems like an easy way to get people to promote you. Like, oh, hey, I listed you on my top of this category. Mind sharing it with your audience?
That's a good idea. I have not thought of that.
Yeah, and then you kind of build yourself a little network as well, possible partnerships down the line, build a relationship.
That was a good idea. Even if it's just backlinks alone, it would be worth it. So I'm going to try that out.
Yeah, definitely. Especially here at the beginning where like maybe 10 new clicks in a month is still measurable improvement.
I agree.
Just like high touch stuff is still worth doing. So that's pretty smart. I'm glad you're doing that. Definitely love to see like a content strategy that you're executing on. Let's talk about like the very beginning. Were you a Shopify like app store runner yourself, or how did this application come to be?
Hey, mainly from scratching my own itch. I was a Shopify merchant doing dropshipping, and at the time there was only a handful of profit apps. And so I'd always thought like that would be a good app, I think, to develop if I was ever going to start developing apps for the Shopify App Store, just because I could see like a lot of merchants on Shopify, and I figured I could get myself in there in a nice category with decent pricing, and that'd be a good way to acquire users. And so that's how I ended up creating ProfitCalc from there. And so I did that about a year and eight, 2 years ago, probably. I started development on it, then launched it about a year and 10 months, maybe two and a half months to develop. So
pretty fast. And I think you maybe timed that pretty well with the downtrend in dropshipping. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's gotten a lot harder to succeed in that.
Much harder. I recall starting out and like the ads were so cheap, your PPC was really good, and then it really started to increase.
Was that like Facebook ads back then?
Mm-hmm.
Or Insta?
Yeah, as I was doing it, the saturation on Facebook started to get a lot higher. Also, a lot of new people were getting into dropshipping because of all the courses, which were using a lot of recycled products, a lot of recycled videos. So it started to get a lot harder, especially with this tiny profit margins that you do have.
Seems like you're doing a pretty good job at timing these like ad price waves. Do you see any new platforms coming out where you're like, oh yeah, maybe that one will be next, cheap ads?
I wouldn't say I'm aware of any at this point. I guess like TikTok and Pinterest are two ones I've seen a lot of merchants using and requesting features for. So they seem to be newer platforms. Or not Pinterest specifically, but TikTok as the app grows and grows. And so trying to get in front of the right audience there.
Yeah, would you be able to find like an audience for ProfitCalc on TikTok, do you think?
I haven't looked on TikTok specifically just because I figured it'd be hard to target that interest. But, you know, I think that's a good idea as well. I should try to test that out because it is as expensive as some more saturated platforms.
So question about the product. So it's kind of, you're trying to replace spreadsheets. You're tracking profit. I noticed it integrates with like Snapchat and Facebook. What do you, and TikTok, speaking of TikTok, why do you need to, what kind of data are you pulling in from these social media platforms? How does it like work with the rest of the data around profit?
It mainly pulls the ad spend amount. So it will take like a day, for example, if you want to see how much you spent or like your profit yesterday, it could automatically pull your Facebook, Google, TikTok, Snapchat ad spend. So you can automatically pull that into the dashboard instead of you having to go in between all your different ad accounts to find the totals there.
Is this meant to replace like QuickBooks or whatever accounting software they're using?
It wouldn't be to replace that. I feel like it's more of a step above because you get a lot more customization there. This is more just like profit and loss templates that a lot of merchants will use through spreadsheets. It's something that I used to use. I used to only do it on like maybe a weekly or monthly basis, just going to take time to go between everything. But then I wouldn't be able to really tell how profitable I was. I kind of just hoped when I used to drop ship. But I figured with something like this, you can see that right away and you can make different decisions on where you're spending your money. Like, for example, I had one merchant who came from spreadsheets and he'd actually lost a lot of money on like currency conversion and he hadn't realized that was an actual expense and like he was doing it so infrequently. And so he actually ended up losing money when he thought he was making money at the end of the day.
Well, that's not good.
No.
Can't do that for very long.
No.
So it sounds like you've been pretty successful using ads as a growth channel. How do you think about writing ads and what makes a good ad? What makes a successful ad?
I think a good ad really speaks in the customer's language, using something, terms they'll use or things they'll look for. And so for me, the way I try to do that was speaking to customers and looking for specific keywords they use to describe my app in customer interviews. Another one would be to use a keyword research tool just to get an idea of search volume for certain keywords. For the first little bit, I was calling it one-click accounting, but I realized that something more profit related was definitely more what customers are using. So I ended up switching my tagline growth there.
And is it just you on the team right now? Or do you have like co-founders?
It's actually just me. It's just been by myself for the last 2 years working on this, doing all the little bits and pieces.
Nice. Any like contractors or Fiverr folks?
Some Fiverr folks for videos and that many videos and like different image editing that I needed done, but mainly myself.
Yes. So it's all you on development, like marketing, customer service. How do you like that? Is that the plan long term? Do you like being like the one man band? How big are you trying to get? Maybe is my question.
Great question. I think it at this stage right now, it can get a little lonely, especially after this long of just me bouncing ideas off myself. I think in terms of growth, I would actually like to build out a small team and divide up the functions between development and customer service to kind of take that off my plate. So I feel like sometimes I do get stuck focusing on things that are maybe too low level and too detailed when I should be focusing on the higher level items to actually grow the app. So in the future,
I
would like to
transition. I'm kind of going through the same thing now with Indie Worldwide, where it's been just me for about the same amount of time, like 2 years. Have potential for growth, need to figure out how to remove myself more from the day-to-day so that I can focus on things that make the community better long-term. I'm still figuring it out. So for me so far, I've been trying to like delegate where I can to people like contractors and things. So like this video will get edited by Rishi, our current video editor, who's been doing a great job. Shout out Rishi. And I'm trying to do more like automated content pipelining, and just take some of it will be like setting up fancy Zapier pipelines, and some of it will probably end up being like developing applications. And some of it will be like hiring out, but obviously hiring people is the most expensive option. And for any worldwide, the like revenue is super spiky. Like some months are zero, some months are like ramen profitable. It's not quite at the place where I can confidently like have somebody salaried or 10 hours, even like 10 hours a week would probably be too much. How are you thinking about it so far?
A framework I've thought about using is trying to estimate my hourly wage as what I would pay myself for certain tasks, and then if I think I can get it for cheaper, try to hire that out. So customer service, as an example, would be one where I can spend a few hours on that, but it might be a lot easier just to hire that out to someone else.
Yeah. I think I'm coming from a similar place. I still do some freelancing as well. And so if I can hire something out for less than I could bill to the clients, then I think this would probably be a good thing to find somebody else to do. Because then I'll have more money to hire more people.
I do have experience using platforms like Upwork. I found they're pretty efficient at finding people and pretty easy process to get to know someone and get them instructions and logins. So that would probably be the plan.
I've had good experiences on Upwork as well. More for like data entry stuff or like minor copywriting type things. I'm not sure if what your hiring process looks like there, but I found it's helpful to like prioritize good communication skills. So do we speak the same language and do we both speak it well? And then like just hire like two, especially for like lower cost tasks. Hire like two or three people at the same time, or even more. Do like a 1 week trial with all of them, like a 1 week paid trial, and then just keep on the one or two top performers. It's been pretty consistent for me for finding good people.
That's a good strategy.
Documenting really well what they're supposed to do and making sure the task is pretty narrowly scoped also helps.
That's a good point in terms of keeping it narrowly scoped. I like the idea of hiring multiple people and then kind of narrowing it down based on best performance. It's a quick trial run.
Yeah, it makes, for at least for me, it's made it easier to just get going with a project versus wasting a lot of time trying to figure out what somebody's all about. But when you're talking about tasks that are like less than $20 an hour, it's pretty low risk to just hire them on for a bit and see how it goes.
True. Yeah, because it's pretty affordable overall. Do you, when you are creating these tasks, do you find out how to figure out how to do it yourself first and then give out the instructions, or do you kind of open-ended?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that's really the go-to move on Upwork type stuff. If you can understand really well what needs to be done and break it down well, then your costs are just going to be lower because you don't need somebody figuring it out themselves. And it's easier to like plug in different people or scale up if you needed to by hiring more people. can't do that with everything. Like design or development might be a lot harder to do that with. If it's not like the same every time, then you need probably somebody that's charging you more and is going to be more creative.
Yeah, it justifies the price. I can see that.
So what kind of advice would you give to somebody starting out, maybe specifically trying to start out on the Shopify App Store?
I would say it's going to take time. It's going to take a while to start building up customers, getting installs, getting revenue, getting feedback on your product. I know for the first few months, like nothing happened on my app, and it was kind of disheartening because you spend this time building it and you release it and you just expect these like flood of installs. And a lot of time at the beginning as well, it's going to be manually reaching out to every customer that installs, figuring out what works, what doesn't. And also when you're trying to get installs as well, it's going to be a lot of manual outreach, trying to go through like Facebook groups and forums and trying to make suggestions and to try to kind of build a presence there as well. So that would be my advice. It's going to take a lot of time, but it's going to slowly ramp up as all SaaS businesses do and compound. So
good advice. I noticed you had like a lot of great reviews. I think about 30. So you've had 700 customers, 30 reviews. They're almost all positive. Have you done anything to chase down those people and get them to review you? Those just organic?
It's mainly through customer conversations where if I have a positive experience or I think I've answered the question well, and I'll just ask for the customer's review, the customer to review our app at the end of it. Because with the App Store, you're not allowed to incentivize any reviews by paying anyone or anything like that. So it's more organic and just suggesting that if they want to leave a review, they can leave one. And it's mainly just been through that overall. It's just asking at the end of the conversation.
Are you allowed to have like automated email go out? Like say somebody's been using your app for like the last 2 months and you can see they're active. Are you allowed to email them and be like, hey, I saw you're using the app a lot. Would you mind reviewing us?
I believe that as possible. I'd have to check the terminology. I actually don't do that because I was a little worried that maybe it could lead to more negative reviews. So I try to just do it at the end of a conversation.
Possibly. I think maybe that would be a good reason to try to filter by people who are like, you can tell are actively using the app because then you know that they're getting something out of it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe don't send them directly to the Shopify App Store. Like kind of do that like a mobile app. They'll just be like, let us know how we're doing. And then if you rate them 5 stars, they send you to the App Store. And then if you respond anything less, they're like, let us know how we can improve.
Oh, I like that idea. It's like a gated.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, they should always find you on their own, but nobody's going to bother. So
yeah,
for them, unless they have a very strong negative reaction.
It's true. Reviews are very polarizing. They're either completely positive or very negative.
Yeah. How important have you found the reviews to be on the App Store?
I found they're very important, I think, because it's one of the differentiators when customers are browsing the App Store is really your reviews. And so worked hard to try to keep that positive by always responding to service queries quickly and trying to help customers out quite a bit when they ask.
Yeah, it seems like this is a rule across all App Stores that positive reviews are the game to play for conversions and also ranking on the store itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Ranking, especially, they didn't weigh that into account.
Yeah. And people write nice things about you too, since you're doing a lot of content now. Seems like a good opportunity to turn those into tweets or something. Like, oh, ShaveMate just wrote this nice thing about us.
A good idea. Whoever. Just to correct distribution and.
Yeah.
Positive vibes.
All right. So goals in the next few months, we're going to try to automate a bunch. Do you have like revenue goals you're trying to hit?
Revenue goal would, I mean, hopefully reach 15K a month. That would be an awesome goal for me to hit. Not sure if we'll get there, but I'm going to do my best. So.
And how about like 2 years from now?
2 years? Oh, that's a while away. I mean, eventually I'd like to be like the number one profit app on the Shopify App Store. So I don't know, maybe 50K a month. That would be the dream there. So
I bet the number one's a lot higher than that.
Yeah, you're probably right. Maybe 100.
Especially 2 years from now, it's probably going to be like a million or more. Once that store is mature, it'd be interesting to find data on that, like see who's really raking it in.
That's true. I'm not sure if Shopify releases that. I know it's Shopify in general. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
And then,
sometimes you can find stuff they don't want you to find, though. We had a guy on the podcast about a year ago, Louis Vieira. If you're listening, check out that interview. He built a website that was like ranking top ads on Shopify or something like this, and he'd managed to, or it was like top stores on Shopify, and he'd been able to figure out a lot more about those stores than Shopify really wanted people to be able to figure out. So I had a very good idea of how much money they were making, even like how much profit they were taking, how much they were spending on ads and things like that, to the point where Shopify actually reached out to him and were trying to hire him on as like a data guy.
Wow.
So maybe that those holes have been closed, but
Is he the one who did it through the Shopify order number? Because you can see how many orders the shop has based on like the order number you get, because they all used to increment at 1000 and go up from there. So
Could well have been. I don't remember the details of the, I'm not going to call it an exploit, but like the creative data gathering. But it was probably something like that.
away, and it's useful information as well, so the right
Where should
people.
people check you out, Jamie? Where do you want everybody to go?
Sure. Two places would be my Twitter, so it's Manschun, AMANSCHUN, and my YouTube is Jamie Dash Shopify Masterclass.
All right, I'll link those in the description too for people that don't want to take that
Awesome.
out. Right on. Thanks so much for coming on, for making the time. Love to see Indie Hacker succeeding, and can't wait to get the update in 2 years that you're already at 50,000 MRR or even more, hit the number one spot.
That would be awesome. Look forward to it.